keep it 100 every day.
Shot. Need the facts and stats. Who do you call? Bringing the fire, bringing the heat, we bring it to y'all. Calling for Frank, you calling for D, you calling for ball. Call for them all. Look how they ball, documented, proving the score. No matter the topic of conversation, call up. You gotta be patient. The love is embracing. Don't deal with the hate. Don't know what you facing. Every Monday, 11 to 1, we'll be there if you patiently waiting.
Bring the heat, bring the heat, bring the fire,
bring the fire.
Keep it 100 every day.
Morning, y'all. Good morning, good morning, good morning. What it do, what it do, what it do, y'all. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Y'all hear the intro in there. Y'all know what time it is. What's up, y'all? What's up? What's up? What's up? Good morning, good morning, good morning, good people. What it do? What it do? What it do? It is your boy, Sports Rap CEO, in the building. Heat 100 Radio, the station that keeps it 100. You know where I'm at. Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page. Instagram, at Sports Rap CEO, is where you can find me there on the simultaneous live feed. And then if you can't do that, you can get the audio on heat100radio.com. If you have the TuneIn app, you can also get us there on the TuneIn app. So, folks, got some things to talk about today. Some things I bought, a little different than my ordinary routine. Just a little bit, not too much, you know, but you're still going to get the same great content. You're still going to get the same great info. So, I'm going to jump right into the scores. I'm going to jump into my updates first. And you know how I do my updates every so often, and just about every week, not so often, just about every week. It's always a couple stories in there, and I get to going into some of that story. So more than likely, that's probably going to be the case today. Then we're going to talk some NFL football, and we're going to talk some Sixers, all right? So we're also going to talk some Eagles. As you know, the Eagles have made some hires for their vacant position, for their vacant coaching positions, which were the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. So we'll talk a little bit about that and how I feel about who was selected. And maybe some people that chime in that are tuned in this morning and give me some input on what they feel about the hires. So you know what to do. You already know the rules. When you chime in, if you chime in with your comments on Facebook, you have to let me know who you are, all right? Instagram is really simple. I see the name. I see your handle when you chime in. But on Facebook, when you give me your comments, you got to let me know who you are so I can give you your just due, like I always do. Give everybody their shout-outs, all right? So, Embiid is fending off the Joker injury to be the betting MVP favorite. So, here's the tricky thing with that. now they're saying that because he missed the game the other night, they put this new stipulation in into the collective bargaining agreement because of the load management had gotten out of hand. They felt whatever. So now, with 38 games remaining in the regular season, Joel Embiid can now only miss 6 games to remain eligible for the MVP award. So for all intents and purposes, he's given us again that he's already won the MVP, so that's not really what the concern is. And we all know what the hype is, and we all know what the chatter is about Embiid. He will kill you in the regular season, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt every season in the playoffs. We need to see this type of play carry over into the playoffs. I think with the way that he's been playing, depending on the way the games are going, and then possibly in some of those games, he will be afforded the luxury of not being able to play maybe the fourth quarter, the entire fourth quarter, as getting some rest early, going into maybe a day off or possibly a back-to-back or whatever, okay? That could be the case coming up because he's been on a tear, and most likely a lot of times he has been playing like that and not playing in the fourth quarter because of the damage was already done. So also with that, just to backtrack a little bit, since we're talking MVP dialogue here, 70-point game, it was something to see. It was a spectacle. I was in the building to see that game. Came against Wemby and the Spurs at the Wells Fargo Center. Team franchise record, 70 points in a game. And it was real weird for a lot of us in the stands. My guy, Mighty Robinson, thanks for tuning in. Good morning, good morning. It was somewhat, I believe, surreal for a little bit for a lot of people in the stands. It was also somewhat unbelievable for a lot of people in the stands. And then there was also that sense of, like, yo, he could get 70. You look at the score, you look at the way the game is going, and then you're like, from past history, you know where we are. Celtic Pride, that's either my guy, Money, or probably Chuck Ye. Let me know who that was that just gave me the Celtic Pride on FB. I'm thinking it was Chuck. Jay Blake on IG, thanks for tuning in as well. So the last part I was getting to was, it was a bit of kind of like disdain, if you will, because us fans being in that stadium, knowing what we had been seeing as far as him play, and got you, Big Chuck. I thought that was you. What's going on, homie? I thought we all felt that he would be done at a certain point when he came out of the game, sat at the end of the bench. And I think for me, this was like one of the craziest moments of the game. And the only thing that trumps this moment for me was the actual play where he went coast to coast, got the layup, and got the 70 points. So he's sitting on the end of the bench, and like my seats are like right there, so I'm like on that angle where I can see the bench, and you know he's big enough to see anyway. But he's sitting there, and he's got the jersey on, and we're talking. I'm talking to people in there, and I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, he's got 60, whatever. He's like, but he's not gonna play. I said, look at the game, look at the score. He's like, he's not gonna play anymore. You know, what I'm saying, he's not gonna play anymore. Then I look up. And he takes the jersey off. And I'm like, it's definitely not about to happen. It's not going to get back in. Not going to happen. Timeout gets called. I look up, and he's moving towards the scorer's table to get back in. And then he gets back in, and then we saw a couple plays, and then he goes coast to coast, and he gets that layup and gets that 70 points. So there's that, and you know that's what we have. So again, he can only miss 6 more games to stay in contention for the MVP. I think Now, good morning, good brother. Good morning. Sorry I missed y'all Saturday night.
Oh, no, no. It was good that you did anyway. The guy felt his physical, so Dom didn't fight. So, you know.
Okay.
You wouldn't have been mad. I mean, you wouldn't have been mad because there was other fights that went on. But, you know, we back in grinding anyway, man. You already know.
I knew that's right. Nothing. Talking right now, I'm talking about Joe. And how he's been playing so far. Publisher World 5, good morning. Diva Dog, good morning. And, you know, they're talking with the new collective bargaining, the way they change things, where he can only miss 6 more games if he wants to stay in contention for the MVP. I think now, since he's won one already, that the MVP is probably a far-gone conclusion for him now. I think he wants to get that stigma off of him of not being able to perform at that same high level from the regular season all the way through the playoffs and possibly getting out of the second round. So I'm thinking that he's a little focused in a different way. And I think the change in coaching staff, like I said, the change in coaching staff, I think has done wonders for this team so far. And it's like we're seeing it right in front of our faces. And ironically, our last coach is back in the league. And I'm probably going to talk a little bit about that later on because I'm still confused as to how that's going to happen, how that's going to play out with Doc Rivers dealing with those personalities of Giannis and Dame. And we know his track history with dealing with top-tier caliber stars on his roster. So, I don't know what's going to happen there. I hope that it can work out for them. But I'm still also a little confused as to why the coach was fired. And they were still in second place in the conference. You're second place in the conference. Of course, yeah, your defense is a little bad. So then that just means to me as a coach, that just needs something we need to work on. And I need to get everybody on the same page. We need to start working on our defense. But then the guy gets fired. And then they bring in Doc Rivers. And Doc Rivers, it said he's jumping at the chance to where he has an opportunity to win a title. If they keep playing defense the way they're playing right now, it's not going to happen. And we have yet to see how this duo plays out in the playoffs. Regular season is all fine and well. But we all know when you get to the playoffs, it's a whole different animal.
You already know.
And if y'all can't get it together, then what's going to happen? It's kind of like some of the things I said about the Phoenix Suns. You got Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant. Like, how do you manage that in the playoffs? Who takes the last shot on what given night? How do we divvy it up? Because all three of them are ball-handling players. So they need to have the ball in their hands to be successful and do what they do. So how do you maximize that and get the best out of everybody and not have them at odds with each other because they didn't get enough shots, or they felt like they didn't get enough shots, or they felt like I should have had that last shot this night,
man,
not
guys
you.
Stop being greedy, man. Guys need to stop being greedy and play as a team and just be, I mean, I don't know, stop being greedy, be brothers, and come as one. I mean, I don't care. I mean,
right.
It is what it is. All of them are great players.
And they all got the same goal in mind. They all got the same goal in mind. It's not like it's a different goal for each one of them. All of them want to get to that top and win that championship. And it's easier to do it together than it is by yourself.
That's what it should be about. But you know, at the end of the day, bro, that's not what it's about.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Especially when you have mixtures like that where you have KD who has won championships, Bradley Beal, who's never been close, and Devin Booker, who's been there once and lost.
Guys don't know what it's about now.
They don't. They take too much to heart. Too many egos are in. Too much ego is involved. Way too much ego is involved. And it's funny because you have a lot of guys from when we were younger, back in the 80s, early 90s, guys who played and played for the team, you know, played with guys that weren't at their level but helped bring those guys up so they could get to the level they wanted to get to and still didn't win. But you can see the difference. There was no, I'm jumping ship. I can't win here, so I'm going to go play with this person. It's, look, try to get me some more help. You know, you got this guy. I need a little bit more, and I'm here. We going to rock out. But guys don't do that no more. Everybody wants to jump ship. Everybody wants the easy way out. The way I look at it, they all want the easy way out. And then when it doesn't work,
Yep. Years.
Yep.
Never won championships, man. That's crazy.
Absolutely. Totally different. Totally different now.
Them guys that the 2-3 years ain't winning championships. Them guys ready to jump ship. Like, man, get me out of here.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
Ready to go. I'm going to play with so-and-so. And then, well, then when they don't win it there, it's like, now what do I do? Where am I going to go now? So, yep, that is crazy. So another note in my notes and my updates, since I'm continuing on, and I'm glad I got you on the line. Jackie Robinson's statue was stolen.
Jackie Robinson's statue was stolen?
Yes.
For real?
Yes. Really? Yes.
Oh my God.
And I don't know what they could do with it, what they would do with it, but you have to be some kind of weird, crazy, sick, mixed up individual to take that statue. You obviously are not a true sports fan, because if you were, you would understand what Jackie Robinson meant and still means to baseball. And in order for you to steal that, you like, it had to take a ton of time for you to do it. And it's heavy. But what was your point behind taking that statue?
Exactly.
What you can't, for me, there's no way you can justify removing that statue. I don't care if the statue was made of solid gold. And you said you took it for to melt the gold down. I'm not going to really believe you for that, because of who it is. And this just proves that nothing is sacred.
Give me angles, Aaron.
Nothing is sacred. And we talk all the time about what the Rocky statue means to the city of Philadelphia. And we all know Rocky is a fictional character. Right? It's a movie character. But if anyone that has watched the Rocky movies from the beginning, that was born and raised in the city of Philadelphia, the storyline is Philadelphia. And then when they show some of the most iconic places in the city throughout the movie, you kind of grow attached to the statue. So we've grown attached to it, and I understand the difference. The Jackie Robinson statue is a monumental moment for African Americans in this country. It's a monumental moment, in my opinion, for baseball, because how many times has there been an African American who had a statue put up in anywhere? And it was in Wichita, none the least. So, also tells me that we still living with racism. Because there's no other way. Like I said, there's nothing you can tell me that you can come up with an idea. you just sitting around or it just pops in your head and say, oh, I'm going to go steal the Jackie Robinson statue. Anybody with me? Let's go do this tonight. Like, I don't get it. I'll never understand how somebody came up with that idea to steal the statue of Jackie Robinson. Like, Jackie Robinson is so important. Right. As I said again, like you said, what are you going to do with it? And he's so important that in Major League Baseball, you know, they have a Jackie Robinson Day where everybody that's playing wears number 42. So the disrespect of you, let alone possibly defacing that statue, but and actually stealing it from its place, is crazy. It's crazy. Like I'll never understand any reasoning behind it. And like you said, Mighty, what are you going to do with it, or what could you do with it? A big old statue. You gonna take it and put it in front of your house and say, here it is, here's the statue. I'm gonna come and get it if you want to come get it. It makes no sense. No sense at all. I hope they find the people that did it. I hope they get the statue and get it back to its rightful place. And
they stick the person who stole it up under the jail.
Yeah. Yeah. He's gotta get something. It's gotta be something. Because it is no way that can go unscathed. Like, no slap on the wrist, nothing. You got to get some serious time for that. Definitely have to get some serious time for that. Good job. Thanks to all the people that's tuning in this morning on IG. I forgot some names there. Jamie12342. AKA the Apostle, Briz underscore Billions, Chris Too Reckless, Born Center 88. Did I miss a couple? Mill City Boxing, Top 2, 6 Max Man 23. Thank you all for tuning in this morning as well. So, the Adam Silver has been extended with a contract, so he'll be the NBA commissioner for the rest of this decade. At least the Lions head coach Dan Campbell was named coach of the year, the NFC. NBA All-Star reserves will be announced on February the 2nd. Hopefully the Sixers will have at least 2 All-Stars in that game. We already know Joel Embiid was voted in as an All-Star starter. But looking for some support for my guy, for Tyrese Maxey. I understand the guard play in the East, and I talked about this a little bit with some people the other day, and some of the names that I posted that I saw, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, and I asked some people about Tyrese Maxey in that mix, and one of them stood pat and mentioned that he would go with Jalen Brunson over Tyrese Maxey. And I get the argument. I get the points that he made. Then I mentioned, so then Donovan Mitchell. And I feel like with the play of Tyrese Maxey so far this season, that I feel like he could nudge Donovan Mitchell in getting into the All-Star game. Jalen Brunson has a legit solid argument because Jalen Brunson has put the New York Knicks on his back. Right now, right here in Tyrese Maxey's situation, he does not have to do that. But he is one half of the top scoring duo in the NBA. I think that speaks for itself. I think that speaks loud and clear. Also, I see how he has taken control of games when Joel Embiid is out and he has to play and hold it down for the guys. He's been doing that very well and consistently this year. So I'm hoping that the coaches and the voters see what I see and get Tyrese Maxey in into the All-Star game, his first All-Star game this year. Because, again, like I said, other than Jalen Brunson, I don't really see any other guards in the East that could honestly really trump Tyrese Maxey right now. Like I said, they have Donovan Mitchell in their midst, but I'm thinking he's playing better than Donovan Mitchell right now. People will argue Trey. Okay, Trey's been an all-star. Trey's a very good player. He is an all-star. But do you really think where they are right now at this point of the season, Trey has had a better season than Maxey? I don't think so. Do people, one of the guys I talked to was a Boston Celtics fan, and they mentioned Jaylen Brown. I said, Jaylen Brown's really not in the conversation because that's a little different. Derrick White. Although Derrick White is very good and very good for Boston, I still don't see him as a better replacement for Maxey right now. The other one, only other person I could argue possibly on there would be Drew Holiday. But again, Maxey, again, one half of the top scoring duo in the NBA. So I think he needs a really, really hard look at being elected into the All-Star game. A long way back when, we remember Will Smith in 2016, defensive end for the Saints was killed. His murderer, Cardell Hayes, has been found guilty for that killing. Let's see here. Lions GM Brad Holmes becomes their first executive of the year. And let's see. The Eagles made it official. And like I said, they hired an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator in the mix. Before I get to that, I want to give you some scores from yesterday. I want to give you NFL scores last so we can get into some NFL playoff talk and talk to the Eagles. Okay. Talk about some Eagles talk as their coaching hire. So, in the NBA yesterday, Thunder and the Pistons take that game 120 to 104. Wow. The Grizzlies and the Pacers, Pacers take that 116-110. The Raptors just fall to the Hawks 126-125. The Suns fall to the Magic 113-98. And the Blazers fall to the Bulls 104-96. Diva Dog, young lady, you too. You have a good day as well. In the NHL, the Kings and the Blues in overtime. The Blues take that 4-3. In the other game in the NHL yesterday, the Blue Jackets and the Kraken. The Kraken take that 4-2. In NCAA basketball, top 25. Xavier against number one, UConn. UConn takes that 99-56. Number two, Purdue gets by Rutgers 68-60. Northern Texas falls to 22, Florida Atlantic 66-63. Memphis, number 17, falls to UAB 97-88. And number 25, Nevada, falls to New Mexico 89-55. In women's top 25, number 19, Virginia Tech faces off against number 22, Syracuse. Vitech takes that 75-62. Number 20, North Carolina falls to Virginia, 81-66. Number 14, Indiana beats up on Northwestern, 100-59. Number 12, Ohio State over Purdue, 71-68. Number 13, Baylor gets by Oklahoma State, 72-60. Pitt falls to number 18, Louisville, 77-58. Number 7, NC State gets by Boston College, 82-61. Seton Hall falls to number 21, Creighton, 57-49. Number 4, Stanford beats up on Arizona, 96-64. South Carolina, in another win, beats up Vanderbilt, 91-74. Number 3, Colorado, 61, Oregon, 48. Number 16, Utah versus number 25, Oregon State. Oregon State in the upset, 91-66. Washington and Southern Cal to face off against number 11, USC. USC takes that 59-62. Number 23, Florida State, 78. Georgia Tech, 67. And number 2, UCLA at home fends off Washington State, falls to Washington State, 85-82. All right. In the NFL, yesterday was Championship Sunday. Got two people tuned in on FB. Let me know who you guys are, who you folks are, so I can give you your shout outs in the future. NFC and AFC championship games yesterday. Early game yesterday, championship. Chiefs at Ravens. Tough game, and I'm sure there will be a lot of people on social media talking about how the refs helped and this and that and whatever, whatever, and this and this and that. Very easy to get into that. Very, very easy to get into that. Chiefs take that game 17-10. Okay. I watched that game, and like I said early, when I noticed some things that just looked a little different than what I had seen in the few times in the playoffs that I saw. Somebody just chimed in and said the Ravens choked. Let me know who you are. And I don't know what happened. And a lot of times I want to sit here and say to you all that good morning, M.WRI1 on IG. Okay, Cuzzo. That's my guy. Cuzzo, yeah. He says that they choked. Yeah, listen, like I was saying, it's really crazy because I saw some things that looked different to me than what I had seen from the last, like I said, from the last few times I saw the Ravens play, even in the playoffs. It seemed like you could either say football mistakes, coaching mistakes, player mistakes. You could probably categorize a little bit. You could probably spread it across the board a little bit with those three. But it was just strange. And it's funny how immediately in all of this, people won't go to that. This is why I'm here for you. A lot of people won't tell you that, like, they saw this, that this looked different than what they had saw. They'll just go into the immediate and the most common prevalent thing on social media with this conspiracy thing, theories, and that the NFL is scripted. And don't get me wrong, I'm not 100% in on the conspiracy theory part of it. I'm not totally in on the scripted part, but I am somewhat in on the officiating and some of those numbers when they play, because you know how sometimes I like to play with the numbers, how certain officials have certain percentage for teams winning and things of that nature. So I look at that stuff and I keep that in mind when I'm watching these games and I'm going through stuff. And we all know how the officiating has been in all major sports basically over the last couple years. It's been pretty bad. Right? Pretty bad. I'm sure anybody that's tuned in and is listening can agree with me. It's been pretty bad. But for me, I've also seen some things where it just seems to let the story continue to run. And it may not always be the actual case. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this when I get to this Lions game. And it kind of brings me back to the Green Bay Packers game against the 49ers. Field goal that they opted not to take going into halftime proved to be field goal that could have put that game into overtime and possibly won that game for them. All right. So with that being said, we move right into the late game yesterday, the NFC Championship, Lions and 49ers. Lions gave you every impression that they were in it for the long haul. They didn't have anything to lose. They came in with a game plan. They rolled their game plan. They had success with that game plan in the first half. Problem I have with that particular game is look at this score, 34-31. And no doubt, congratulations to the 49ers. They showed the resiliency and whatever they needed to show, the fortitude to come back and win that game. But Here's where people will tell you that the NFL is rigged and not tell you what went on. Because some of you might not have paid attention to this as deeply as I paid attention to it. So, 2 fourth down plays, a fourth and two, and a fourth and three. Did not convert on either one of those. Okay? On both of those plays, they were in decent field goal range. So, in a game that could potentially send you to the Super Bowl to be one of the last teams standing, as far as you've gotten so far in the last 30 years, three decades, you're finally made it to the NFC Championship game. Good morning, Lydia. Good morning. Finally made it to the NFC Championship game, right? Okay. So, fourth and two. You make this crazy pass, you don't get it. Could have kicked the field goal. 6 points you leave on the field. 6 points. Score the game is 34-31. 3-point win. Even if you want to play with everything that everybody else wants to play with, the conspiracy series, the number three, a 3-point win, even if they make both of those field goals, they win by three. They win 37-34. Still 3 points. So people will have all those different ways to play into it. But they won't tell you that football-wise, and this is my opinion and my opinions only, I'm not on that sideline. I'm not in that front office top looking down, watching the coach do his thing, whatever. I'm just on the outside looking in with me, with my former coach's hat on. At that juncture, I've got to take those points. Again, I have nothing to lose, yes. But this is the game that will potentially send me to the Super Bowl. To have the opportunity to win the world championship. To have the opportunity to be called the world champion, which I would be forever if I win. Because once you win, you can't take it away from you. You'll always be a world champion. You'll always be a champion. Whether it's 1, 5, 2, whatever. Once you win it, it's something that will stick with you forever. So those two blown opportunities are what I've seen. And I saw something this morning where Dan Campbell said he has no regrets or he's not thinking hard back about it, whatever. I think he'll get a pass in that because of the season that he had as a coach. But deep down inside, I know I'm not the only one that's to this morning thinking, or maybe even last night, right after that game was over, that have been thinking, well, if they kick that field goal and then kick that other field goal, they still win this game 37-34. A lot to think about. And it's crazy, like I said, because people will go into that. Like I said, they lost by three, okay? If they kick both of those field goals, they end up winning by three. So people will play with that, the threes and this and that, all this conspiracy theory stuff, and they'll play into it. They'll go into, well, the missed field goals and the fourth and twos and this and that. But they won't tell you that football-wise, that was more than likely two bad decisions at that stage, or those particular stages of the game in that type of game. In that type of game, against a team that has the potential to explode like they did, you have to take those points. I understand you want to go in and show you're not scared, you're not this, you're not that, the ego had to come in a little bit. But at this point, at this juncture, at this level, in this stage of the season, you have to play to win the game. It's just my thoughts. Play to win the game. You have an opportunity to get points, you get points. Because you never know. Like the football, it used to be any given Sunday, and still a lot of that, still a lot of that goes on today. But when you're at that juncture, you have to take the points. There's no reason for you not to take the points. Because you did that in the second one, it puts you in the predicament where you had to try an onside kick. Onside kicks were very unsuccessful this entire season. You really think it was going to change in this type of game, in this moment, where you blew the opportunity to make the game go in a different direction? A lot to think about, a lot to talk about. But Super Bowl is now set. Chiefs, 49ers. 49ers open as a slight favorite. Okay, I don't know how much that's going to change, but they opened up as a slight favorite in the Super Bowl. So, moving right along, people, continuing on with this great Monday morning. The Philadelphia Eagles, and there are, we have some updates. Before I get into the Eagles updates, Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson is set to be named Washington Commanders head coach once the Lions playoff run ends, which ended last night. And Miles Sanders is allegedly going to be able to walk away from the Panthers with $2.9 million. So he didn't have a great season down there. So he thought he might have had. He went for the money. Didn't pan out like he did, and he'll probably be a free agent again. So we'll see what happens, see where Miles Sanders bounces or lands. So getting back to what we need to get to. Philadelphia Eagles hired offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator over the weekend. Defensive coordinator first, Vic Fangio. Some people have mixed opinions on Vic Fangio. I had some notes. Some other stuff where they had some players where they think that he might be able to swing away or lure from Miami. A D-back, which could possibly help, Elijah Campbell. Outside linebacker, which definitely could help, Jerome Baker. And defensive tackle, Christian Wilkins. But we still yet to see what happens with that anyway. So Vic Fangio, if you all remember, was allegedly or reportedly supposed to come and be the defensive coordinator for this season that just passed. I don't know what happened completely. Tables turned, he declined, and then went down to Miami. Whatever happened down in Miami, he switched up, and now he was a free agent. And he's coming to the Eagles now. My guy, R&B is me, Jay Reezy. What's up, good brother? Good morning, good morning, good morning. So, we got Vic Fangio. I'm not upset with the hiring. I'm not disappointed either. I think he can do some things, but it's now on Howie to give him the tools in his toolbox. Because we got to work on that secondary. We definitely, definitely have to work on that linebacking core. So that second and third level of our defense needs a lot of work. A lot of work. There's going to be help coming from, there was a player from the Colts, I forget his name, but I posted it before, who was suspended for whatever reason, who's now been reinstated and will be available for training camp for the Eagles. The Eagles have to make a very, very concise decision on what's going to happen, what's going to transpire with James Bradbury. There may possibly have to be a trade of some sort to get him off of the roster. But I don't know how in-depth they'll be into that. And if ultimately he ends up being back here on the roster, he definitely has to get in the lab and make some changes. He was downright horrible down the stretch. And again, I said that I did notice in some of those instances where players were confused about what they were supposed to be doing on offense and defense, and that's coaching. But also, you're the player. You have the skill set. You've got to be able to make up some of that with your skill set at that level, at the pro level. I mean, you're getting paid to do this. So, again, just my opinions and my thoughts. As like I said, as a player, you have to be able to make some of that up with your skill set. I don't know what happened, but his skill set was not up to par down the stretch of the season. I think Vic Fangio will want a blitz. I think that's just that I'll have some blitzes in there. But again, like I said, you've got to get that back end right in order to be able to facilitate those blitzes. I think the defense will get a toughness back with Fangio. There is a close relationship with upper management and Vic Fangio. So I also read somewhere that there was an underlying thing where he could be the defensive coordinator and possibly some other things. So there could be some other incentives in there for him as to why he took the job and why that defensive coordinator situation was quelled rather quickly. On the offensive side, hiring of Kellen Moore, former Dallas Cowboys backup quarterback, former Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator, went along and moved on to the Los Angeles Chargers. The Eagles have had success when they've got coaches from the Chargers, coaching staff, Frank Wright, Shane Steichen, and now Kellen Moore. And I talked to some people, and, you know, of course, being who I am and being who we are as Philly fans, initially, I was like, Dallas Cowboy pedigree, Dallas Cowboy relation. But I thought about football, and I thought about what Kellen Moore has done. He has been the orchestrator of a number one overall offense in the league. I look at what he has done with Justin Herbert. And to be honest, I think offensively and in the skill positions, the Eagles have a little bit more than what the Chargers had overall. Okay, I'm not going to say that they didn't have anything there, but I'm just saying overall, I feel like if I had to go with an offensive skill set unit, I would take the Eagles over the Chargers. So I think there could be some good things brought in to maximize the talent level that's on this Eagles roster as far as on the offensive side of the ball. And the fact that he was a quarterback in the NFL. It helps. I know people say, well, he was a starter. He wasn't this. I get what you're thinking immediately. But it will help because when you have that type of knowledge, that type of history, you can kind of paint that picture for the quarterback that you're coaching as opposed to giving it to him and having him watching film. You can physically, like, really paint that picture because you can actually see it the way that they could see it and sometimes the way that they should see it. So, again, like I said, it helps. I've also heard and understand that Nick Sirianni will remain as the head coach and he will not be call in place. The offensive coordinator will be solely in charge of the offense and the calling of plays. I think it's a good thing. I honestly think that's where some of the confusion came in. I honestly think that part is what kind of maybe alluded to the situation with Jalen Hurts and Brian Johnson. May not be, but I can feel like that had some type of role in it, how big or how small it may have been. I feel like that might have had some type of role in that as well. So, looking at moving forward, again, they didn't make the big splashes like people were looking at the Eric Bieniemies, and you know, I even mentioned Leslie Frazier at one point, and some other names came up, popped up around here and there. But they didn't make that big splash. You know, even Ron Rivera's name had come up for a defensive coordinator. So again, they didn't make that big splash with that big name. I think they made mid-level, if you will, but solid choices, I think. But again, like we say, it all has to come together, regardless of what I think, regardless of what someone else thinks. It has to come together. And we won't see any of that until training camp in the summer. So we've got some time to think about it. We've got plenty of time to talk about it. People, like I said, were a little shaky, a little indifferent about some things. You know, there were some people that were in Miami and they were under Vic Fangio or fans of Miami, and they're like, oh, well, y'all can have them and this and that and whatever, whatever. You know, sometimes change is really good for people. Again, even with the Kellen Moore situation, like I said, me initially, it was just that Eagles-Dallas thing. I was like, oh, God. But, like I said, I saw what he did in LA with the Chargers. And again, like I said, at one point, he was the orchestrator of a number one overall ranked offense in the NFL, the entire NFL. And again, like I said, the Eagles' talent level on offense, I think, is better than what the Chargers have on offense. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, we won't know it until we get into training camp and see what happens there. But we'll see. You know, the Eagles have done something. I mean, you know, it's like I said, it wasn't the big splash. Now they just have to get the draft right. And they have to get some linebackers. They have to secure and revamp that secondary, because it's going to be needed. Okay. Let's see. Ed First Class. Ed First Class. The Bell. Good morning. Good morning. D_1. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you all for tuning in. Good morning, y'all. I appreciate y'all. You know, it's going to be fun to see, like I said, how things play out. Nick Sirianni taking that step back, giving those reins to the actual offensive coordinator, having him be able to call the shots on his own. Another change. So we'll see what happens. Okay. Moving along, folks, we got some Sixers talk. The game the other night against the Denver Nuggets. Joker, no Joel, no Maxi, no Tobias. And the guys fought tooth and nail. Philly All-American game. My guy, Stan Groovy Laws, good morning. Blessings to you, good brother. They fought tooth and nail. I think the game, it was outcome a 3-point game. And, of course, a lot of people made a bigger issue out of Joel not playing in that game than it really was. The reports were that the team doctors didn't like what they saw on that knee in the shoot around. So Joel Embiid was out. That kind of thing happens because we already know that the knee is slightly injured. And again, like I mentioned in the beginning, it's 38 regular season games left, and then we have a playoff run. Okay. Now, I ask people all the time, would you rather him miss games now or miss games in the playoffs? Here recently, we've had both. We're trying to work our way into having it just be one way or the other, and preferably now and not in the playoffs. The team, again, the team fought well. But every time he plays against Joker, or the last few times he's played against Joker, he's gotten the better of Joker. And I think that's the athleticism that Joel has. You can see how he's gotten better. Now, speaking of Joel, and when I say this, I'm mentioning because way back when, 2 years ago, when we talked about the comparison with them, a lot of people said Joker was better and this and that. And I said, people, you also have to understand the makeup of rosters and the game of basketball. At the time when the Joker was winning, when he won those two MVPs, his supporting cast was better and different than what Joel Embiid had on as his supporting cast. Joker had more spacing availability. He had the guys that could that were proven knockdown shooters. He had guys that cut to the basket off the back door and off of, you know, off of the post and things of that nature. So the passes for him were that much easier. Okay, and that's, again, I say it that way because I don't want to discredit what he can do, because I respect his game and I respect what he can do. So I say the roster makeup made it that much easier for him. Now people are seeing it because now Joel Embiid has that type of player on the roster. The Kelly Oubres, the Nico Batum, the KJ Martin when he gets to play. You have now Tobias Harris in that versatility role where he can gauge what's going on in the game and figure out what role he needs to play. Other than trying to figure it out on the fly and being told one thing and being on the court as a basketball player and seeing something different and not being able to relay that to the coaching staff and say, look, I see something, you know, can I try this and that? It was more so, nah, I need you to do this. I understand you might see something, but I need you to do this. It's a little different in the coaching staff as well this year too. So I like where they are. Maxey and Joel Embiid, the top scoring duo in the NBA right now, currently. All-Star reserves slated to be announced on the 2nd, which I think is Friday, I think. Hoping for Maxey to be in that mix. Again, I mentioned some guards, I talked about some things, I posted some things, and I feel like Maxey should be in. I would be a little disappointed if he does not get in. I like where the Sixers are. They're still in third place in the conference. But I think I like where they are. Again, I still say we need that backup center. We need that backup point guard. And then again, you know, we talked about a trade that just happened, Terry Rozier. And now on the forefront, that Kyle Lowry instance comes up again. Some people may say, no, he's too old. Some people may say this. Some people may say that. I feel like you have to kick the tires in a way. He fills one of the needs that I kind of feel like we need, that backup point guard that can score. He's also a veteran, also championship pedigree, also very familiar with Nick Nurse, whom he won the championship under. He's going to get a buyout. He's going to request a buyout probably. So it's not going to cost you a lot. Basically, it's not going to hurt you. But it could help you in so many ways. But we'll see what happens. Of course, there's been talk about trades around KJ Martin, things of that nature. Sometimes Marcus Morris's name comes up in it. I don't want them to move on from Marcus Morris. I feel like he brings a skill set to the team that we haven't had in a while, especially at his size. I think he gives us some toughness. I also feel like he has to be on this roster to arguably or a lot of times play alongside Paul Reed, because we know how I feel about Paul Reed. We know what Paul Reed is, although he had a great game the other night. But we all know how Paul Reed can be at times. And I think what you have, the size of Marcus Morris and the size of Paul Reed, with those two in the game at the same time, you still have a big that can get you some points, that can score some points for you, either on the low block, three-point lane. And at all three levels, he can get you some points. Like I said, three-point line, mid-range, and on the block, he can get you points there. And he's a little bit more, he has a better tool bag than Paul Reed has right now as far as offensive game. So we'll see. You know, trade deadline is February the 8th. The Sixers are kind of back and forth. Like I said, you're hearing the rumors about this and that, but nothing is definite. And I won't believe anything until I see something saying a trade has been made or a trade is being finalized. I honestly feel like they're going to stay pat at the trade deadline unless something jumps out that they just arguably cannot refuse. I think they'll stay pat, and then I think they'll talk to some of these guys on the roster that are on expiring contracts, and then maybe work out some things in the summer and re-sign Maxey, bring a couple of these guys back, and get one more star piece that they said that they may be looking for. So, folks, again, like I said, a long season. We'll be picking it up, turning it out, checking it out, doing what we do. As always, folks, you know where to find me. Right here, Heat 100 Radio. You see the banner behind me. Tune in, Heat100Radio.com. Also, Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast, LLC is the group page. Instagram, at Sports Rap CEO. TikTok, at Sports Rap CEO. Threads, at Sports Rap CEO. All right. Webpage, sportsrapradio.com. YouTube, Sports Rap TV. Get over there, check the videos, you know. The audio, Apple, Google Podcasts, iHeart, Spreaker, I'm sorry. So you can get it in most of your podcast outlets. Don't forget, you see I've always wear shirt cred today. Also, once again, goes out to at Making It Yours, at MAKING underscore IT underscore YOURS yours. To shirt today. Just a little quick saying. The dream is for free. The hustle is sold separately. So you can get there and check you out. Tell them Sports Rap sent you. Get over there, like I said, check them out. Get you a custom shirt. Get you a custom tumbler and all that jazz. Monday schedules. Sixers back in action tonight. Full NBA slate tonight. Clippers, Cavs, Knicks, Hornets, Pelicans, Celtics, Suns, Heat, Jazz, Nets, Lakers, Rockets, Wizards, Spurs, T-Wolves, Thunder, Kings, Grizzlies, Magic, Mavs, Bucks, Nuggets, Sixers, Blazers. In the NHL, one game on the slate, Predators and the Senators. NBA, NCAA, Basketball Top 25 Women, number 9 LSU, faces off against Mississippi State. For the men, number 12, Duke at Virginia Tech, and number 4, Houston at University of Texas. Thank you to everyone that tuned in on IG. All of you, everybody that tuned in over there. Too many names to go back and remember, but I have them all written down. So thank you all for tuning in. I definitely appreciate the support, definitely appreciate the follows. Everybody on Facebook that tuned in, thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned, folks. We definitely working on some things. Got some things coming down the pike, as I told you. We are back at it. Heat 100 Radio coming at you strong. Coming back like we never left. Don't forget, we got an anniversary coming up. Relaunch coming up. Listen, y'all better stay tuned. Y'all know where we at. Be great on purpose. Enjoy this Monday. January is just about over. We moving into February. Enjoy yourself. Have a safe day, y'all. Peace. Talk to y'all all week on social media. Right back here on Monday. Holla.